Hi everyone, I'm Nadia and this is my podcast, Can Anyone Hear Me? It's actually a German podcast, so the original title is Hört mich jemand? But since this is my first English episode, I thought I'll do a little pre-monologue so you know what you're getting yourself into. I initially started this podcast last year, actually in November, because I wanted to provide a room for myself, for people who usually don't get the space to speak and to talk about topics that we face in our daily life, that we have to deal with if we want to or not. And especially for people who do not feel represented. I called this Can Anyone Hear Me? Because sometimes I felt like, and I still do, that no matter how loud I scream, if I scream off the top of my lungs, I'm still not heard. And that is not just maybe in your private life, but mostly when it comes to politics, when it comes to injustices, inequalities, that you feel like nobody can hear you. So I have so many unbelievable people around me. They're super inspiring. And I thought, oh my God, I need to do this. We need to speak about topics. And this is my 18th or 19th episode. And we've spoken about all sorts of topics, like racism, like home, where you feel home, about mental health. It's about drugs and being addicted. So it's not just a fun thing where I want to entertain you, but there is a lot of meaning behind it. And the reason why I want to do an English episode is I have a really, really strong connection to a lot of people out there, and you know who you are, who are English speakers. I've met wonderful people in Berlin who are actually from London. I've met unreal individuals during my time when I lived in London and Dublin. So I just want to have you be part of this, of what I do, and hopefully I can one day record episodes with you, and of course also in English. So this is a little bit of a teeny tiny gift for all of you people, and again, you know who you are, and I just have a very special connection to Ireland and England, so this is just really a passion thing I want to do. And I really hope you enjoy this and I won't bore you any longer with my monologue. I'm just sitting in my room speaking to myself. But hey, why not? All right, enjoy. Hi everyone, welcome to a new episode of Hört mich jemand, which is actually Can Anyone Hear Me in English, and this is my first episode in English.
Hey.
Welcome. My guest is the one and only Alele. Hi.
Hi.
Alele was my first ever guest on Can Anyone Hear Me?
Pow, pow, pow.
Oh my God, you were the first person I interviewed on this.
We had so much fun.
I know. And just for you to know how Alele and I know each other is we both co-host the Berlin radio show. And Alele is actually the lead of the Berlin Radio Show, okay? She took over. She come. She what? She came? She no, she saw. She came. She conquered. She come.
She come. She come. I came. I conquered.
Yeah, so this is Germany.
Yeah, this is Germany. We are in Berlin. We are welcome here in the Berlin. Yeah.
This is an episode. I gotta be honest. Like, I wanted to do an English episode the whole time because my people are in London. They're in Dublin. My gang. And I feel so honored that you're my first English guest.
I'm so honored to be your first English guest.
Such a good time. Because I'm also going to do a UK special.
Hey.
Which you also got to join me in.
I'm going to be in your suitcase.
I know.
And like force myself in that situation.
If so Boris I'm lets down. Me in. Boris, don't do me like that.
Don't do her like that. Never.
And if Rona lets us travel, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. For everyone or anyone in Germany, learn English. Just kidding. It's not going to be the usual case. This is just one episode in English. The next ones will be in German again. But back to today's episode. Dirty 30.
Ooh-wee.
Meaning,
ooh-wee.
What is it like turning 30? And I gotta be honest with you, I thought Alele was 29, turning 30. April 3rd, but turns out she's already 30.
It's a mix between like being insulted with the fact that I thought she thought that I am 21.
You look so young.
I know. I was like, she thinks I look like I'm 29, but I look like I'm 21.
You're complicated.
I complicated everything, but I'm older than 31.
She looks 20.
Always. Forever 21, so, hey.
Anywho, we gotta change the setup of the episode a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Alele is gonna share her experience as a 30-year-old woman turning 31 April 3rd.
Sorry, not sorry. And if they feel like they want to share, my Cash App is and my PayPal is. We shall post all this like underneath.
What do you need to buy?
Multiple things. I will share all my...
what is it called? Rejuvenating?
Rejuvenate. It's called... what is it called? Yoni eggs. Yoni.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard about that?
No.
It's all about the vajayjay.
Ay-ay-ay.
It's a vagine situation.
I know at least three people who are like, this is not for me. Goodbye.
No, right. Stay tuned, you guys. Trust me. It'll be like beneficial to your health.
Jeff. So. Oh. But let's get to the topic. So the reason why I wanted to do this episode is I'm 27. I'm going straight into 30.
There's nothing in between.
There's nothing happening. Uh-huh. And I'm a bit overwhelmed.
Okay.
I'm scared of getting, I don't want to say old, older.
But that's what you're trying to say. You're scared of getting old.
I'm scared. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm scared turning 30 because there's so much pressure.
That's true.
For a woman turning 30, it's like, where's your child? Where's your children?
Children.
Like, where are your 18 children?
Where's the ring on your finger? I don't know.
Where's your job that you've had for 5 years?
Yeah, that's true.
All these things happening, right? Even apartment.
That's true.
What do you mean you don't own a property?
Real estate.
Right?
Under your belt.
Everyone's like, Oprah, you need like real estate is your... Although I do believe in real estate as an investment.
Yes, but it doesn't have to be at a specific time. That's my point.
Exactly.
That's all.
I saw a meme that's very millennial. But I saw a meme where Denzel Washington, and it said there's no timeline on success or whatever is happening in your life. Just because everyone else has a degree, a child, a husband, a house, it doesn't mean you need to stick to the age. Because it's life is not a competition. It's your life.
That's true.
I think the meme went differently, but I just made it.
But Denzel Washington telling us that it's not always about like having certain credentials and certain, signatures under your name and stuff like that. It's not always about that. But at the same time, we're placed in a position where we assume that if you haven't reached a certain level of establishment, and especially as a woman, because you think, okay, it's like for everyone, especially as a Black woman. In case people didn't realize, I'm a Black, brown, very proud. Because you might have posted, like, she Black. But in case you guys didn't know, Alele is a Black, brown woman.
Gorgeous.
We try. But it's not always about that. And in situations where you are placed, where people need to see your credentials, they expect certain they have certain expectations.
It's pressure. Yeah.
And at a certain age. And that's what we're going to talk about.
Exactly.
But at the same time, like, Denzel, thank you very much. You're speaking from a position of being a man. And I still think you're the sexiest man alive every time. You could get it with 75, 85.
Is he 85?
Yes.
He's not dead old.
Nah, but he's pretty old. He's pretty old. Maybe Idris Elba might have some competition.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Denzel Washington is 66.
He's on the way to 70. And he can still get it.
All right. I obviously prepped a little bit.
You did. I'm so sorry. I'm distracting you and stuff like that.
I love it. For the episode. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Do you know what I Googled? I Googled 30 years now and then.
Okay.
This is what I got.
Tell me.
I got Quora, I think this is a platform where you can ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why is 30 years old considered old? Mm-hmm. And they say because the average age used to be 60.
Mm-hmm.
So basically 30 meant half of your life.
Yeah.
So you were almost done.
I was ready to sign out.
Like it was half. It was like if you didn't have children and your husband and the life, you're about to die.
Wow. I am literally in my grave right now.
It's shocking. And then, you're right. Like, you're on your way. Grave.
I'm literally digging into my coffin.
Choose your stone. It's happening. But today, average is 82.
Yeah.
And then other questions were, how old is 30 years old? Am I wrong to still feel like a young adult? Or do you consider a person who's 30 years old to be, quote, old? Or why am I feeling so young even though I'm 30 years old? So people are automatically labeling 30, you're done.
Thank you very much, millennials. Yeah, clearly we had created a space where we think that 30 is like the new 55 or whatever.
So and let I'm me not ask judging. You,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel? You're 30.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? How did you feel when you were 29 knowing
that I was
you're about to be 30?
I was excited, you guys. Not even, no jokes. I was super excited because I thought I had been through a lot of shit. And I'm allowed to curse.
Of course.
Okay. So I had been through a lot of shit being 21, first of all, 22, 23, and even the big 25 in a space where a girl like me, who looks like me and has the skin color that I do have, was never accepted or capable of being comfortable with where she is with her age. And I had to focus on other things of being comfortable with my skin. And it created a space where I needed to reflect and figure out what I needed to figure out for myself.
So, sorry, did it bother you not just because you are a person turning 30, but you're a woman and you're Black turning 30?
Yeah, it was multiple intersectionalities where I had to figure out am I comfortable being a Black woman? Am I comfortable being a woman, first of all? And am I comfortable being a nearly 30-year-old woman? And then all these pressures where you're like, yeah, okay, your body is not as amazing that it as it was when you were 22. Hey, no. This is not what we call hot anymore. So I had to like reconcile all these different situations and figure out how I'm willing to deal with this and still remember that I'm a human being that has mental issues in their own form and in their own setting, mm-hmm. and try and move on from that. So it was like intersectionalities that I had to meet. Mm-hmm. And then I had to be a 30-year-old woman, because everyone who says like a 30-year-old woman is way too old has nothing to say. It was a tough experience.
Yeah.
And I might be going off on a tangent, but the point is everyone has to figure out in what space and capacity they are willing to deal with these different capacities. And the pressures were, you need to have a kid, you need to have a boyfriend, you need to have a boyfriend or a husband.
Yeah.
You need to be standing in the church and like making your vows. And those are things that were way too far away from me because I was dealing with the fact that I was a Black woman in Berlin. So yeah.
All this makes me reflect everything in a split second, because I was about to tell you, oh, my fears, my worries about turning 30 because I'm 27, but it's not that hard. You know, thinking about, for example, what pressures you go through, which I maybe didn't have to worry about, it puts things into perspective. It opens my horizon that I not just see my narrow view on things, but I understand, Nadia, there are way bigger issues going on out there. So when I think about society wanting me or expecting me to be married at a certain age, to have this many degrees, a job for how many years, children, it still is not comparable to the pressures you go through as a Black woman. And that just shows us that we cannot compare each other's journey at all. And that basically really just threw off my whole idea of this episode, and I love it because I've learned so much now. It's wild. And when we look at expectations that society has on men, which is most of the time money, they're supposed to earn a lot of money, they're supposed to take care of themselves, of the family, which is really, really old school when we really reflect on it. And still, there are different circumstances in life. There are people who are not able to study and who cannot have a well-paid job by 25. Maybe they'll have it by 40. So it's the same for men, that you cannot expect them to also follow someone else's lead. One thing I find very difficult to explain is, how and when did you get to a point where you did not care about what others thought? Because I feel like we've been raised and trained to always look left and right to see what others think. So how did you get to a point where you said, no, I will tune everyone else out and listen to myself?
It depends where you find yourself in terms of being at peace with who you are. And I needed to go through that phase of figuring out who I am and what I want to be able to get to spaces where I can maybe reconcile with what everyone else wants me to be.
And what is the most annoying thing for you, or was for you, or still is, during this journey of getting where you want to be?
You have to prove something. You always have to prove something.
100%.
If you went to uni, then you have to prove that you were the best in what you studied. If you finished uni and you got a degree, then you have to prove that you got the job that you studied for. And when you did get that job, then you have to prove that you got the salary that made sense for the job that you applied for. And I'm like, gentleman, Did you have to do the same thing that I had to do? And do you still have to like make sure that you can prove to the public that your ovaries and your uterus are still working? Because then it becomes a whole situation of, okay, cool, you've got a degree, you've done this, but is your uterus still working because you're older? Can you still have babies? And I'm like, I will have babies when I want to have babies. This whole conversation about like biological clocks ticking and stuff like that, I'm over it. There's a time where I believed about it and I was like, yeah, let's have a conversation about it. But right now I'm tired of hearing it about. I'm tired where people are like, you're supposed to look a certain way, but your uterus is supposed to tick a certain way. No.
One thing that also frustrates me loads is people who think they know better, as if they've walked in your shoes or know your body. And even I can't even talk for another woman because I am not in her body. And so you can't tell me what my biological clock looks like or whatever because you don't know. I wish some people would put their energy into fighting world hunger instead of meddling in our business or in our bodies. And we spoke about all these expectations people have on us or the world has on us women, but there aren't resources available to make this happen for us, to lead a life and also recreate and have a job. And I'm talking about companies without proper maternity leave programs. Or do we have paternity leave? Mm-hmm. Do they offer that? Like the society, the structure in society and also implemented in companies is the woman is going on leave. She's getting her salary on leave, but not the bonus structure.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of companies have a base salary that is really low.
Mm.
And the bonus or commission makes half of it.
Yeah.
So I want to challenge mm-hmm. those companies and also those decision makers and say, you need to think about your structure.
That's true.
And you need to reconsider, first of all, coming up with a bonus structure that is in line with a woman getting pregnant and having to go on leave.
But I mean, that takes us back to the fact that we need to like restructure how people think about like the whole reproductive system. You are probably the person who's going to be in a position to go and make decisions about how reproductive health will be influencing, for example, the productivity of your company or how a woman will be beneficial to your company. And if you are already uncomfortable about talking about periods, there's no way you are going to be able to come up with structures that support any sort of leave that has to do with reproductive health, be it male or female. And so if we're already thinking like that, then how are we going to have a conversation about figuring out how we can put in place procedures that make sense for people to be able to still create future leaders, but at the same time, take the time off to do what you need to do to take care of these future leaders. And people are uncomfortable.
Alela, I've been in the tech industry for years.
Come on.
And I've never come up with these lines. Everyone listening, listen. Listen to it again.
Yeah. And I ain't got no degree.
See?
You know.
And you have no experience in that industry.
And I don't have children.
But this is just something that you learn in life.
Yeah.
That's also the problem with politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Like they make decisions for what they understand.
Yeah.
But they don't get that ordinary people, they don't understand it. When I say ordinary people, I mean people like us. All right, next topic.
Next topic.
Let's talk about fun aspects.
Yes.
The episode is going to be called Dirty 30. Mm-hmm. Or what I envision for myself.
For your 30.
Is my 29th is going to be a huge huge celebration.
We'll be there.
Because it's the last time I have a two.
Okay.
In my age. Do you know what I mean? I'm so sad.
I said that when I was turning 20. I was like, this is the last time there will be a one in front of my birthday.
That was my speech.
I didn't want to burst her bubble.
What was the biggest revelation for you? Was there any revelation when you turned 30?
I realized that society is the one that told me, like, the three in front of your age is a big thing. And I was like, wait a minute. I look better than I did when I was 21.
Yeah.
I really do. I really do. And it's society. Your biological clock is ticking. You cannot be as sexy as you wanted to be when you were like 22. Fuck that shit, man. I will be honest. I have never looked and felt as sexy as I do as when I hit 30.
Oh.
I swear. But before that, just before that happened, I looked at myself in the mirror and I actually had to stand naked in front of the mirror and look at myself and be like, you know what? You are a sexy bitch.
You still got it.
You still got it. And it's not even about like the aesthetics. It's just I had to come to a space where I could look myself in the eye in the mirror and be like, whatever you represent, whatever you've been through, we are at peace at whatever's happening. If you have like an extra love handle, if you haven't gotten the job that you thought you wanted to have, if you don't have the hair length that you wanted to have, simple things, but also very, how do I say, things that like built my character. Mm. I had to look at myself and be very comfortable with those things. And that happened like a week before my dirty 30 hit.
Mm.
And I looked at myself and I was like, we're at peace.
You know, from what you're telling us, now I feel like, okay, if I don't like how I look or the way I am yet, I'll get there when I'm 30. Which is also the wrong way to think, because there's just no timeline on confidence or on self-love. It's a journey. It's you get there with time, with experience. I think getting to, and I'm still not there at my full confidence, but I've definitely gotten better at it. But that was just through time. I can't even pinpoint a moment where I say, yes, that's when I felt confident walking in tight dresses or wearing my hair like this or not wearing loads of makeup. That's really just experiences, things you go through, the hurt you experience throughout life. And I haven't even been through half of it, you know, so there's so much more to come and so much more to learn, and also so much more to learn about myself, which I think is super, super exciting. So I do look forward to it, especially to looking at myself and thinking, you're a sexy motherfucker. You posted something about your struggles.
Yeah.
What you're going through.
Yeah.
Which was very honest.
Yeah.
And people don't usually show that on social media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually it's like, sundown,
drinks and stuff.
Exactly. What we did today.
Yeah.
But
check out her story.
It was so honest. You talked about the struggles, mm-hmm. a job. You know, we're in a pandemic.
Yeah.
Things are not normal.
Yeah.
And you still said, I feel comfortable in my skin, which is a huge statement. Apart from being 30 or 31 or whatever, what motivated you for this post? And how do you feel today?
I woke up, just like to give like mini context, I woke up in a situation where I felt like everything was going wrong and everything was fighting against me for where I was. I had an anxiety attack, and I know we've all been talking about like mental health and mental like conversations about mental health, but I was in a space where I was actually literally paralyzed by the fact that my mental health overtook my physical health and I couldn't move on. And I decided, you're struggling. You have found yourself in a position where you feel uncomfortable And all you need to do is close your eyes and breathe. I'm heading to a position where I might be jobless by the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been used to having a job since I've been 21. And if you've been brought up in a family where they've told you like having a contract means success.
Yeah.
And no offense to my parents, because I know they are only also dealing with the generational pressure, knowledge yeah. and pressure that they have been confronted by. The point was, all I knew was I needed to have a job to be able to say that I'm successful. And this was the first situation where I was confronted where I had to face an opportunity and be like, I ain't got no job. We ain't got no contract. Yeah. And it took a while, but I needed to realize, like, stop comparing yourself to everyone else. Because we're living in a day and age where social media is constantly telling you what you need to do and what the other person did, but you didn't do.
Mm.
And that's what I was surrounded by. And so I realized I need to do this and just be like, yo, man, Alele, is there any other Alele in this world? No. You do your shit. Fun times, though. Fun
yeah.
time. And fun times is I realize how good my skin looks.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
true.
That's the thing. I think we're putting, to finish it off a little bit, I think we're putting a lot of pressure on ourselves,
yeah.
comparing ourselves and also trying to make someone else happy
mm-hmm.
when we might not even be ready
yeah.
to go that step,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I think also what I learned from this episode and from talking to you about this is it's fine turning 30 and not having it all figured out. There's no formula or calculation that can make the decision and say, you're this age, this is where you need to be in life.
If people are fans of Rihanna, for example,
yeah,
everyone was like, Rihanna came into her full potential when she was like 28, 27.
Yeah. When she got curvy.
She got curvy and she's like, you know what? This is what my body's trying to tell me. So love I'm heading it. Towards 30 and she looks fine. She's like mature wine.
The best ever.
Fine wine matures with time.
Like Gucci Mane. If you don't love me at my skinny, my fat prison time, you don't deserve me at my skinny time.
Exactly. So this is what you need to allow yourself. It's just like,
yeah.
it might not be your time right now. You might be 25. You might be 27. You might be 35. And you get to a point of like realizing what your self, what is it like self-awareness? Because you've made certain experiences. There's certain experience. I'm not saying like 25-year-olds or 22-year-olds have never made this experience. But I'm saying like at 30, there's certain experiences that you make physically, emotionally, and sexually. And the older that you get, the more that you appreciate it and just like embrace it. It is what it is. And if other people want to come and tell you like, no, man, you're supposed to be able to do this by the time you're 25, tell them, are you paying my rent?
Yeah.
So no. So don't let them like tell you certain stuff. Yes, the media and social media is trying to tell you to get to like certain points of time and certain levels of success. And I know we hear this all the time on social media, but I'm telling you guys again. Don't be scared of 30. 30 is sexy.
30 is dirty.
30 is dirty and sex.
And Christina Aguilera showed us dirty is good.
Let's get dirty. Come on. So,
thank you so much for opening up because it is a delicate
topic,
personal topic.
For sure.
But I appreciate it a lot that you spoke about it, that we got to speak about it.
Thank you for having me.
And that I learned as a young 27-year-old jumper. Do you say that in English?
Springer.
That age is just a number of candles on your cake. And we need to focus on society, changing society, bursting those boxes we've been put in. Not just about age and expectations. Burst those drawers we've been shoved in about women, our role in the family and society, about race, where you come from, your skin color, what you look like, what language you speak. Those are things we need to focus on. And age becomes such an irrelevant thing if we really focus on what the real issues are we're dealing with. And also, and here I'm super happy that you're here with me, Alele, never lose your joy in life. Always try to have fun in things. If you don't have fun doing things, what's the point? So never lose the smile, never lose the joy. It's been real.
It's been great.
It's been a pleasure. And to all the listeners, English listeners, this is one of many English episodes.
Yay.
There are going to be more. Not the next one, not the one after, but soon. As soon as Boris lets me in. I hope you enjoyed this. If you have feedback, not about my English, but feedback, let me know. And to all the people listening from Germany, appreciate you tuned in for so long. So yeah, people.
Check it out.
See you in a bit.
Stay tuned.
Alligator.
Bye-bye.